Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
And welcome to It's All Nice on Ice, baby. We are recording live here in Bushwick, Brooklyn, New York City on this beautiful Sunday night at 10 p.m.
Beautiful.
It's raining, but it's nice out because we have a very special episode. This is probably the show that I've been most excited about in the run of this show.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about this all week, so amped to finally get into it.
Yeah, yeah.
I am Jake Demahovsky.
I'm Chris Calabrese.
And we have two really... mediocre guests.
At best.
Yeah, we've had better.
We must have asked like 20 to 30 people before before we finally landed.
We were
on
like
these
17
two.
And 19 on the list, I bet, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, would you take what you can get in this town?
You do.
You know? So we have Scott Davis in the room.
What's up?
You want to move closer to that mic a little bit?
Yeah.
There you go. Sorry, and we have
new to radio.
Charlie Greenwald.
First time, long time.
Sir.
There you go. Have you ever listened to the show before, Scott?
No.
Okay. Charlie.
Yes, I've been on it before.
You have? Okay.
Tell me about that.
How did it go?
I had a great time. It was a few weeks ago. It was you, me, Chris, obviously, and...
Our marketing director.
Yes, the marketing director. That's correct.
Taylor Hawkins.
Mm-hmm. Taylor Hawkins, yes. Marketing and Sherman Williams was also there.
Oh, you were here? Oh, that's when you were
that's
here.
That's when I was here.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't sure if you were here that day. You didn't hop on mic, though.
No, I observed. Fly on the wall.
Tonight, big night.
Big night.
We have assembled Scott and Charlie so we can put together the first ever Arctic Monkeys panel. Arctic Monkeys came out the new album on Friday entitled Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. May 11th, 10 tracks. Is it 10 tracks?
I think it's 11.
11 tracks. Thank you.
No problem.
That's why you're here.
Yeah.
Fact checker over here, journalist.
We're going to dive in. We're going to go track by track on that. Maybe talk a little bit.
These are two of the biggest Arctic Monkeys fans I know.
Yeah. So we'll go through some history. We'll get to some of our later stuff at the end. Don't be upset. We're still going to get an icebox in. But yeah, I think we should dive in. Maybe go a little overview of the Monks.
Yes.
What's your history with the Monkees? Either one of you guys.
I taught Alex Turner guitar.
Oh, wow.
In Sheffield.
Okay.
No,
was he talking about you when he said to not believe the hype?
Yeah, pretty. Yeah. Okay,
that makes sense.
I don't know. What's my history with the Arctic Monkeys? My older sister was like one of the cool music listeners who knew every cool band before like I did in 2006. And so I knew them. That's it.
All right. Charlie, what you got?
So
you know, we're trying to build credibility here about why we should be on the panel.
You know,
so, Scott,
when I was in...
Don't listen to me, sorry.
Yeah, credibility with
the
band.
I was ready for the trick question here.
I started getting into them in college, so I'm kind of new to the fandom. I'd say probably I've been listening to them for 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
AM came out, I think, our freshman year, or maybe our sophomore year. Because it came out, 2012 or 2013? I think it came out in 2013, so that was my...
Because they came out, the only reason I know is they came out with the B-side. It's 2013.
Yes, that's right.
All across the galaxy.
Okay, so here's what happens. AM came out in 2013. I vividly remember watching a YouTube video, and there was an ad for AM. Like
wow.
A 30-second YouTube ad.
And it was the first time you ever heard rock and roll.
The first time I... it stirred something deep within my soul. And I remember, like, you know, a lot of Arctic Monkeys fans... will belabor this point that AM brought a lot of bandwagoners onto the band and people who had like never heard of them before because that album was really huge and really popular and critically was lauded by every music, magazine there is in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of attention kind of fell upon the band, and there were a lot of people who had said, you know, you weren't here for like the first four albums and now you're here. I'm one of those people. Yeah. Yeah. But I look back.
Yeah, Jake actually started a Facebook page against people like that.
Get out. I don't have a Facebook. I must have missed that.
This one you did.
When I did? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I missed it then, too.
But now they just put up memes, the Facebook page.
Yeah, it's one of those that has a completely unrelated title to what the page does because it was made when everyone was in fourth grade.
He recycles the fat Jewish Instagram posts.
But in any event, I like all of their records equally. Well, not equally, but I like all of their albums. They're a really interesting band. One of the few rock bands that has obtained, I think, like a really admirable level of success.
Arcade Fire status.
Yeah. Well, would you consider them a rock band?
They're the new U2. Just
I don't kidding. Know if I would call them a rock band.
Yeah, Jake introduced me to the Arctic
everybody
Monkeys.
Knows this story.
Yeah, I've told this story
Sixth
before.
Grade. I don't know it. I'd love to hear it.
It was release week.
No, I got to tell the story, dude.
You want to tell it? Okay, yeah. I told it from my perspective, so you should.
Okay. Sixth grade. Before school, I'm watching Fuse. Bet you look good on the dance floor. Music video comes on. Again, opened my eyes first time I heard rock and roll. My mom says, hey, I'm going to FYE today.
You had to pray to God, right? Because you're like, what is this devil music?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I immediately turned it off, ran away. My mom told me she was going to FYE that day if I needed anything. And I said, there's this album that just came out, Arctic Monkeys. Whatever people say I am, that's what I'm not. Can you pick it up for me? And she said, sure. I come to school.
She said, fuck you, Jake.
Yeah. No, go for it, man. Open that up.
Yeah, wow.
She did
guns
say
blazing.
That. Yeah. I sit at the lunch table with Chris. Yep. Sixth grade, 2006. I say, my mom's going to FYE today. That turns his head immediately. I said, I told her to pick up Arctic Monkeys, whatever people say, and that's what I'm not. Chris gave me so much shit. He's like, why wouldn't you get her to get you Stadium Arcadium?
Yeah.
If she was getting one album, why wouldn't you get Stadium Arcadium?
Yeah.
And he made fun of me, but now to this day, he likes that album. He likes whatever people say more than Stadium
Arcadium. I've probably listened to Arctic Monkey. I've probably listened to whatever people say, and that's what I'm not. Maybe 100 times more than I have to Stadium Arcadium at this point.
Do you like Stadium Arcadium?
It's fine.
I think Snow Heyo, but I changed the lyrics to say Snowflake to own the libs.
Yeah, nice, dude. Those libs,
they
man.
Really deserve it.
Yeah.
They are a lot of snowflakes, man.
Yeah.
Anytime I get to nail the libs, I
nail them.
Yeah. I get them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if Jake, if I never met Jake, I wouldn't know the Arctic Monkeys.
Also, you wouldn't have been on that early. You would have found him.
Yeah, you're fine.
We were on, that was like a week or so that the album came out.
So you watched the band basically develop and grow through the years.
I have. I was there for every release.
You were there for every release. Right, I was not.
I didn't know I was supposed to give my background like this, but so I liked songs here or there from having heard them. And then when Suck It and See came out, I really liked that album. And that then good. I like went back and revisited that. And yeah, almost in a similar way to you, like, 1 year in college, I only listened to whatever people say I am for like 8 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I almost just went like chronologically from there, even though like there are some songs I knew already, but then I kind of got more into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Suck It and See brought you into them. That's interesting.
I suck it and saw.
You saw?
Yeah.
Might as well.
I liked select songs already, but
what were some of those tunes?
I always liked Marty Bum.
Me and my brother played that at a coffee shop.
Oh yeah,
in high school, not an actual coffee
shop. And then they kicked you out. They're like,
yeah. They said the devil music.
They're like, please don't play music in this establishment.
Yeah,
sum up like, for me in a sentence, like what it is about the band that you like. Like what differentiates
we're gonna
them
have to speed this
from
up,
rock?
Come
bands.
On, man.
Okay, we're
keep this moving, dude.
We'll be quick.
Turner's tight pants.
Tight pants.
Yeah, mostly.
Okay.
Different unexpected haircuts and facial hair.
The goatee is rough. That's rough.
Before this new album came out, some random person, I hope it's a random person, not like a journalist, but had like tweeted a picture at the airport. He like ran into Alex Turner and he said, just ran into Al at the airport picking up his girlfriend. And he took like a selfie and Alex Turner had like the look he currently has now with the goatee. And I was pretty worried that he was watching. Yeah. I mean, because he went from kind of like a
greaser
look. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like calling him Al.
Yeah, Al's real funny. Al Turner.
That's how you know they're tight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Al Turner sounds like a quarterback or something.
Yeah. I was gonna say like an old like Muddy Waters like blues music. Yeah.
I was thinking
more what I was thinking.
I was thinking a reverend.
Oh.
Reverend Al Turner.
Yeah. That's good.
Speaking today at the Presbyterian Synagogue.
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day.
Oh,
all the mothers out there.
Yeah. All the mothers listening.
Today, the Arctic mothers.
Arctic mothers. Today is a famous day in history. As Chris and I's band in high school, we played our second infamous show at the Stone Pony on Mother's Day. Probably 7 years ago. Our first show was at midnight on a weeknight. And then our second show was on Mother's Day.
Yeah, at like 7 years. Wait, you were playing in eighth grade, you played at midnight?
No, we were juniors. No, we were seniors.
Probably juniors.
I thought you just said eighth grade. Did I make that up?
Probably. Oh, okay. Yeah. I may have said that. I do not know. I don't know. You guys want to go through our list of albums?
I think that's a good idea.
Rankings, just and then we'll so we're just sliding in, and then we'll go into some thoughts, and then we'll,
like, you got to take the reins with the show, okay?
I'm trying, dude. You guys are not giving me much,
so we're not including Tranquility Base Hotel.
We are not including Tranquility Base. Did you include it?
Yeah, but that's
but I can't. Well,
fuck you then.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I'm going.
So are we going 5-1 or 1-5?
5-1.
5-1. Scott, why don't you take it away?
Yeah.
All right. So 5 being the least favorite.
Yes.
All right. That would be Humbug for me. And then, do I have to give like explanations or should we just run through it?
You can just run through it. And then you can, if at the end, like summary of why you ordered
it. I have a single take to add at the end of it. All right. Okay. So Humbug at 5, 4 a.m., 3 Suck It and See, 2 Favorite Worst Nightmare, and then 1 Whatever People Say I Am.
Okay.
But I was going to say that on Favorite Worst Nightmare, there's a run from Fluorescent Adolescent to If You Were There, Beware, which I think is like the 5 best songs they've ever written. Like, it's like the strongest
for Dangerous music. D is for Dangerous, Teddy Picker.
See, I feel that way about the end of that.
Right before that. That's what I mean.
Okay.
And then they have, Fluorescent, and then.
I like that song.
What's the slow song?
Only Ones You Know?
Yeah, Only Ones You Know, which is.
Oh, and then 505's in there.
Yep. And then, what's in there? This House is a Circus.
Berserk as fuck.
If You Were. Yeah, that's right. If You Were There, Beware. And then I'm totally drawing a blank on the
one. That's one of my favorite Arctic Monkeys songs
of all
time.
It's like maybe their best song. Yeah, I don't know.
It might be.
I kind of just ruined my point.
Oh, no, that's different. What's that one? Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding. I'm trying to think of the other like 505-esque album or song on that album.
Chris, you got to be hot on this, man.
Yeah, you guys are the host. I thought you'd have all the songs up.
We got to have the most.
And I don't even know the name of the song. I said it's my favorite part.
The Bad Thing, Old Yellow Bricks.
No.
Oh, do me a favor.
Do me a favor. Yeah. Okay, so those 5 songs in order are, I think, the best.
Some of their best work.
Okay.
Anyway, that's my
All right.
Hot take.
The Humbug at 5 is
That's
shocking.
Brutal.
Really?
Shocking.
Really?
Brutal for me.
Well, okay, so then I'll just say that I would have Tranquility lower than that.
Okay.
That's my least favorite.
Okay. Fair. Me too, by the way. I would
As of now.
It's got to grow.
Yeah. I like all the records. Like, it's not a bad list. You know, it's different from mine, but I love all those albums.
Mm.
I have Suck It and See 5.
Okay.
I have Whatever People Say That I Am 4. AM 3.
That's a hot take. Okay.
Favorite Worst Nightmare 2. And Humbug at 1. Humbug is my favorite because Josh Homme's influence is all over that album.
Yeah.
It was also their second album, which, you know, a lot of bands go through the sophomore slump. They can't quite recapture the
Humbug?
Glory. Oh, Humbug third. Sorry. Yeah. Favorite, I guess, came second. I just really like those songs. Crying Lightning, Potion Approaching. I think they have like a real edge and vigor and excitement to them. Mm-hmm. It's tough. I want to, you know, when I was making this list, I wanted to say AM because it was the album that got me into the band.
Yeah.
But there are some songs on there that I think kind of led into Tranquility Base. Mm-hmm. The more I was listening to Tranquility Base, and it's a slow record. It's very loungy. And I was thinking back to, I was like, when have the Monkees been loungy before? And I thought back to AM, you know,
Bluesy.
Number One Party Anthem and Mad Sounds.
Yeah.
That was kind of them like slowing down.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And then they slowed really into Tranquility Base.
Mm-hmm.
I like all their albums, you know.
Okay.
Quite a lot.
My list, I have from 5-1, I have AM, number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4, Suck It and See. And just this list is almost impossible to put
together. It's down to
so
tenths.
Hard.
Down to tenths
Number 3, Whatever People Say, and That's What I'm Not. Number 2, Favorite Worst Nightmare. And number 1 is Humbug.
That's pretty similar to my list.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
AM's just 4 and 5 are switched. Yeah.
Humbug is stands, yeah.
Yeah, I've tied at number 4, AM and Favorite Worst Nightmare.
Okay.
Then Suck It and See.
God.
Then Whatever People Say I Am, and then number 1, Humbug.
Sorry.
Wait, what you have? Whatever I say is number one.
No, whatever I say or whatever people say is number two.
Number two.
Humbug is number
and humbug is number one. So all three of us picked
so
humbug as number
defend,
one.
Do I have to defend? Put it. Do I have to like defend? I
mean, no,
we don't have to go into it. Okay, all
right. That's another.
I'm glad we. Yeah, I'm glad we all are different.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. I'm glad we are different.
I will say, you know, and I'm interested to hear what you guys think about this. Is, you know, AM again? Everybody has heard from when I started this podcast. I talked about how AM got me into the band.
It's a radio show.
And like, you know what, buddies? Tomato, tomato, semantics.
Talk to Tom, and we'll talk about semantics then.
Early on this radio show, at AM got me into the band. And, you know, anybody can say that about any band, that, you know, there's a special place in your heart for this record because it introduced you to the band. And AM did that for me. I was like, who are these guys? I loved their sound. I loved Alex's voice. Matt Helders is such an awesome drummer. And he kicks ass on that album, from Are You Mine to Knee Socks. The patterns and arrangements that he kind of puts together are really impressive. And it's also a great kind of kaleidoscopic rock album in terms of, like, it has some really hard rock songs. It has some kind of slower songs. It has some love songs. It's very interesting. And it also achieved, like, kind of pop status in terms of breaking through to the charts that very few rock bands do nowadays, mm-hmm. especially in the 2010s. So I owe them a lot of success, or I have a lot of respect for that album.
Right.
But I don't know. I'd be curious to hear what you guys think. I liked Humbug because it had that real, like, Southern California rock sound to it from Josh, and then he collaborated with them on AM again.
Yeah, it's just the best performance by all of them, I think. Humbug.
I agree.
Best drum album.
Great, yeah, amazing drum album.
It is the best drumming.
Best vocal album. Best bass
Sucking
album.
Sucking in Sea is a pretty good vocal
Sucking
album.
Sucking in Sea is an incredible vocal album, too. And guitar album.
Yeah. So, Scott, you just saw Arctic Monkeys of Broken Steel.
Mm-hmm.
Want to give us a quick overview of the show itself?
The show itself? They're pros. I mean, I think they played a pretty tight 80 to 90 minutes with very
Was
few.
There an opener?
What were you there wearing? Were,
I didn't realize Alex Turner had changed his look, so I came dressed as him. Hoping to meet him.
I went and I wore two polos and a pair of loose jeans because I thought he was still in the whatever people say I am.
You're wearing garb. Like an Abercrombie polo. No, I just wore regular clothes, I'd say, which for me is a shirt and pants.
Great.
Cool. Their own.
Cool.
They're kind of weird. They're showmen and they're also businessmen. Like, they put on a show, but there's not real, like, a whole lot of bullshit in between. It's kind of, thank you, Brooklyn. And then they play the next song. And
don't believe the hype.
Yeah. actually, didn't say that. That would have been pretty badass. Cool. They did play I Bet You Look It on the Dance Floor, which was, I'd say, the crowd favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Above any of the AM songs?
Yeah, I think so. Unless it's my own experience of just, like, being glad to hear whatever people say I am, but
right.
I mean, they're great. They had a few extra people. They had a pretty big ensemble, a few keyboard
Cameron
players.
Avery.
Surprises,
Cameron
man.
Avery was the opener. Yes, he's from whatchamacallit.
He comes out for
a band I don't listen to.
She Looks Like Fun. He's the back vocals on that.
She Looks Like Fun.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I thought that
Chris.
Was, yeah.
Sorry, Scott. I'm just trying to keep this moving.
Yeah, keep it moving.
Chris, you went to the pop-up.
I did go to the pop-up.
How was it?
It was really good. I actually have some audio if we have time.
Yeah.
So it was great. It was in Soho. Pretty long line when I got there, but I went in and there were some really cool records, some gold, silver records, some posters, all sorts of stuff. But I feel like this clip.
You have an Arctic Monkeys poster.
I do. Charlie gave me an Arctic Monkeys poster for my birthday.
Nice. What is the poster of?
It's probably around. Between Favorite Worst Nightmare and Humbug era.
Yeah.
And they're all three black and white.
Oh, nice.
All four, sorry, in a row. What do we got there, Chris?
Yeah, so this is just, you know, just inside the store. I feel like it really gives you a good vibe of what it was like. So here we go.
If you steal the bit I was going to do later, I'm going to be pissed. Oh, wait, the mic's not up. Sorry. There you go. Okay. Bum, bum, bum.
Oh,
What are we listening to?
It's pretty cool, right? Okay. Wow. Yeah. All right. I feel like, yeah.
I felt like I was there.
Yeah, that gave me a good vibe.
Yeah, I was going to like interview someone, but like, kind of thought. Like. Like.
What?
I thought that. Thought that maybe that cool. was good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good atmosphere. So, all right, nice. You have a you have a future in ambiance.
I'm really good at the,
sound
at that.
Yeah. Okay.
Guys, let's dive into Tranquility.
Let's dive into Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. Can I have that thing back?
Yeah,
Chris,
sir.
Great job.
Is it? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
Is it off? So it doesn't make.
It's off now. Yeah.
I'm.
No, that was great. No, Chris. Hey, Chris. That was really, really good. That was really cool.
It's all right. It's
I really like that. Scott, it was cool, right?
Yeah, I thought it was good.
People needed a taste of what that was like.
Cool. He doesn't really.
I'm going to pull a Terry Gross kind of thing. Chris, why did you film that?
Chris. I'm curious.
Why did you film that?
That's a Terry Gross thing. She always says, I'm curious. Yeah. I'm curious. Why did you film that?
I'm curious. Why did you believe the hype?
I just thought it was good. That's it.
Do you want to dive into the first song?
Sure. Shout out to Terry Gross, by the way.
Shout out to Terry Gross. She's...
You need to tell me the track. What is the first song? Is it a... Oh, God. What's the first song?
Oh, what's the name of it?
Star Treatment.
Star Treatment.
Star Treatment. Right.
This is Star Treatment by Arctic Monkeys. It's a different sound for sure. This is not what we've heard in the past. Oh, wait. Oh. I'm sorry. That was something else I was doing.
No, I think it's a high energy way to start the record.
No, that was stupid. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean.
That's wrong.
Wait, what?
He said it was a concept album about dogs going into it. So
yeah.
Damn it. So the first song is asking, who
where did these dogs even come from?
Where are they come from?
I'm sorry. Who that are was okay. This is Star Treatment.
Okay.
That's that was embarrassing.
It's just the playlist. Sometimes you get the playlist messed up.
It's just the playlist. Yeah. Playlist.
The previous song was from your date night playlist, right?
Yeah. I was listening to it with my girlfriend when we had the candles on earlier.
Yeah.
Charlie, you're grooving over there. What's going on? What's going on in that head of yours? That big old head.
It's just, you know, it's like the band is on. Have you ever watched?
Wait. The lyric.
Yeah.
We talked about this 2 weeks ago.
I just wanted to be one of the strokes.
That's really good.
Yeah, I actually was like, did you rewind? One of the strokes.
I'll do more for you later.
Cool line. We knew about that line for a while.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts coming into the song off the bat? First time listening to the record.
Unbelievable production.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really. Layered.
I agree.
Mission accomplished. On that side.
Okay. Scott.
On that.
I don't know.
Side.
I can't remember my first impression. I mean, it's my favorite song on the album. It's a great opener. It sets the tone.
Yeah.
I think it has the sharpest lyrics, perhaps, even though they're pretty drifty.
Yeah.
Yeah. The lyrics are drifty across
his like singing on this album is kind of nasally. Has anybody else noticed that?
Yeah.
Well, some of the recordings are his home recordings on a Tascam.
Yeah, I did.
So it's not like that quality mics on some of these things.
Did
so
you say on his ass cam?
Yeah. He has a camera up his butt.
Nice, dude.
Who among us?
I don't know what he's doing. I think that's what Star Treatment is. Like Brown Star. Treatment.
Wow. I didn't even put that together when I was listening.
It's pretty crazy.
That's what Tranquility Base means.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, maybe this is a good time to actually say what Tranquility Base is. It's the spot. It's the landing place on the moon.
It's the spot.
That's become a hotel.
Yes. And a casino, apparently, too.
Yeah. And they're the band in this concept of this. The concept within this album is that they're the band on the moon that plays for everybody.
Mm.
I want to say that Jamie Cook, who is the rhythm guitarist most of the time, kind of like kills it on this song. Mm-hmm. Like he adds the groove to the song.
Yeah.
And what's the bassist? Nick O'Malley.
Nick O'Malley.
Nick O'Malley. Yeah,
they both are a little underrated on this song because they kind of keep it moving.
Nick O'Malley, you know, is responsible for a lot of what I like about the Arctic Monkeys early on. He's a great bassist.
They're all a little underappreciated.
Chris knows where I'm going with this.
What?
Me and Chris share a favorite member of Arctic Monkeys. Matt Helders, the drummer, is really the most important part of this band.
He's
and the
so
reason,
good.
This is kind of a spoiler.
Well, most important.
Okay, well, Alex Turner is. Okay. But I think a spoiler for me is that this album doesn't have the energy as other albums just because Helders really holds back.
Really does.
Never opens it up.
I almost feel bad for him because he talked about that in an interview, how he said literally, I had to like realize the album's not about me.
Yeah.
But I mean, I feel bad for him. It's like, wow, well, that's been a little boring.
That's my other thing with this album too, is that like, this probably should have been a solo album, is the way that I see it.
Yeah.
Because it's songs Alex Turner wrote in his house by himself, brought into the studio. He showed Jamie Cook. Jamie Cook said, hey, Al, why don't you make this a solo album? And Al says, oh, no, it should be an Arctic Monkeys album. And then they said, okay. And he just brought in these songs with, like, recordings from his house. Mm-hmm. And then they just layered a ton of shit on top of it.
Yeah.
Which, it sounds cool, but that's not a great way for a band to make an album.
No.
It wouldn't have been as good without the Monkeys, though.
Yeah, no, that's true.
It's true. It actually probably would have been weirder if Alex Turner had just done it himself, because I think they kind of had to give it a little more pop sensibility.
Yeah. Okay.
What's his solo band or his side project,
Last Shadow Puppets?
Do you like them at all?
I do, and Chris my take was that this actually sounds more like a Last Shadow Puppets.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. You say solo record, but you mean... He hasn't done a solo album.
He does Last Shadow Puppets with Miles Kane.
Yeah, so this could have been a Last Shadow Puppets project.
Yeah.
And close. I think when you turn to the Monkees and you say, I want you guys to be a part of this, you know, I mean, again, Nick O'Malley, like, you hear him. And on one of my other favorite songs on this album, She Looks Like Fun, Nick O'Malley, like, you hear his bass, it goes up and down. Like, he's really, like, he's hitting a lot of notes. He's adding a real thick groove to these songs. But there's less contributions from the other two band members. I don't feel them as much on this album, especially Matt, who's just in the back, like, you know. Yeah.
All of
like
them aren't the on very much. Like, there's not a lot of songs on the album that all of them are on. Yeah. Like, even if you look at the songwriting credits.
I was gonna dive into some credits as we moved along here. This has all four members of the band, plus James Ford, who's been a producer for them, I think, since Favorite Worst Nightmare, and has produced Last Shadow Puppets as well, and Alex Turner's solo EP for that movie Submarine.
Yeah.
Hmm. That album. That's really good.
That's a great EP. I really like that.
He does the acoustic version of
Pile Driver.
Yeah, Pile Driver Waltz. It's a great one.
I was going to say that, just one more note on Star Treatment. I think it has some of the better lines on the album. I like Warp Speed Chic. And I'm a Big Deal in Deep Space, I think is the line. I'm trying to blank on the exact wording, but just clever lyrics.
Who are you going to call? The Martini Police?
Yeah. He said in Pitchfork that he just liked the way that sounded, so.
Oh, another thing about
I'm not
this.
Sure how much they're into it. Yeah, sounds good.
That's it.
Another thing about this track, if you look historically at Arctic Monkeys opening tracks, I believe 4 out of 6 stop and then start again with the beginning. So if you look at View from the Afternoon, it stops. Bam, 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 bam. And then if you look at Brian Storm, it stops and it goes beginning again, and then Humbug stops and then it goes digga 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 ding, ding.
Okay.
And then I think what's the opening track off Suck It and See? I think that one stops and starts again.
What is the opening
track? She's Thunderstorms.
Yeah, maybe that one doesn't. Maybe that was the beginning of the stop. But I was hoping that it would. But Do You Wanna Know does not either. Yeah. So I haven't done it in a bit, but that was like a staple for the first three.
That's cool. I never thought of that.
That they did, but they don't do it anymore.
It's a really interesting note.
Thank you, Charlie. That's why I have a show.
That's why you're sitting in the
big boy chair. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
That's why you can have snacks and didn't give to us.
They're energy chunks.
Like, I just want to say, as nice as this show is, and it's a nice show, I couldn't find a piece of paper to write notes on.
Well, you know, guests are expected to bring their own paper.
Yeah.
Is that right?
It's in the contract, buddy.
You know, Chris, I forgot to play the Tuna Melt theme song.
Yeah, so we were saying that this episode is sort of a Tuna Melt as
a big
whole,
long
right?
Tuna Melt, yeah. So I'll play the Tuna Melt theme song.
Are you sure we have time for the whole thing?
I'll play a short version after.
After the full version? Oh, man.
Got the phone number in there? 718-928-9732. And then I'll play the short.
Right, said Fred, right?
Yeah, that was. I'll play the short one just to make Chris happy. He doesn't like the long one, so I have to play both.
That's really Sweet.
So this is this big long tuna melt. Should we move on to 1 point perspective? Kind of keep the discussion going.
Yeah, just keep it going.
Yeah.
This is track 2, 1 point perspective. Awesome beginning. I like this.
Kind of reminded me of Grizzly Bear in this beginning.
Weezer.
Yeah.
Weezer.
You know what I wanted here?
You just hope that they put that song on this album too.
Yeah.
I want to get back to that in a second.
We will,
if I may.
I like the yep in the background. But oh, that's what it is. Did Mr. Winter Wonderland? Yeah, this song's good.
This song is still representing all four members of the band and James Ford.
The production of this album is so good.
Stunning.
It's stunning.
Beautifully
Everything's
done.
Crystal clear.
I saw somebody argue that I Lost My Train of Thought is the thesis of the album. Someone's there. I think it was on Sarah Gum. They didn't like it.
Sarah Gum did not like it.
Yeah, but they wrote
that. That was on Sarah Gum.
Did you read
Gum.
Rolling Stone's review?
I did not.
They did not. They gave it 2 out of 5.
Wow.
They were like...
Yeah, Sarah Gum was saying that he kind of like... just keeps going down different routes that end at nowhere, yeah. lyrically.
I actually think yeah. it's a fair point, because we talked about all the other musicians restrained themselves, and Alex Turner is like not restrained one bit.
No.
He's also packing these songs with lots of verses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's not really taking his time in any of these songs.
This song right. doesn't have a chorus.
He's like trying to fit in everything in all the verse. You know, it's like he's just like going on and on the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's very... train of thought.
Very train of thought.
You just said Humbug is his best vocal album. I think this is. I kind of like the inclusion of the falsettos in this.
I think that's an interesting step.
Because
sure.
it was so usually good. Helders was doing a lot of the heavy lifting on the falsetto on earlier albums.
He gives AM a lot of depth vocally,
he does.
Which is cool. But
another thing that is interesting about Al is he doesn't have a high voice.
No.
He's one of these few rock singers whose main register is deep.
He's a crooner.
He's a real crooner. And this album, there's parts of it, especially in the very beginning of Star Treatment, that kind of sound croonery.
I wanted to be
you
like
You know what I mean?
Group.
Like 50s, 60s, Sinatra, Sammy Davis kind of sound. That's not all over the album, but there's a hint of it in there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. No, this is a very impressive vocal album. Yes. I agree.
Do you want to move on to the next song?
Yes.
Sure.
We'll move on to American Sports.
I like this song. It's short. Right?
This,
it's like
this song,
238.
This song gives me a Humbug vibe a little bit.
Sure. A little creepy.
Like that desert guitar kind of reverb.
Yes.
Again, featuring all members of Arctic Monkeys. That will change on the next song, fellas, so keep your boots on.
I'm staying on my toes.
Yeah, there you go.
What'd you say?
Keep your boots on, baby.
I will.
You ever just make up an idiom just for absolutely no reason?
Well, I feel like if you take your boots off, it's because you got comfortable.
Right.
So that works.
Yeah, I think pretty good.
A lot of folks on this one. You got Evan Weiss, you got Zach Dahl, you got Tom Rowley.
Who are all
and
these
Tyler
people?
Parkford. So they're playing the baritone guitar a lot on this album. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's the extra long guitar.
Okay,
that's
he's playing
the bass.
With the no. It has 4 strings.
Yeah.
Like
no,
the strings
Chris
are big.
Right. No, we know.
No, that's called the bass. Sorry.
Oh.
No, there's a baritone guitar. It's like
a bass.
I think it's four extra frets. It's just longer.
Okay, cool.
I trust. I actually don't know what it is.
Yeah,
you just gave a really
it
vivid
like,
graphic of it.
Look
yeah,
at
it's
this.
A radio show.
Gesture.
See this? It's like in that, it's like it's. I think it's 2 whole steps down, like tuned normally.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's baritone guitar.
I hadn't even heard of that.
The next Arctic Monkeys album will be only drop D guitar. It'll be metal.
That would be really good.
I do like that they followed up. AM, which is like their most commercially successful album, with a piano-driven album about like a hotel in space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cool. Do you?
Exactly. Yeah. That's.
Yeah. You know. You know. In so some good. Ways, right? It's like, and I guess I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on this. If you know, again, you put yourself in the perspective of a band like the Arctic Monkeys. When you obtain the level of success that you do,
which
on
I have,
AM, which you have, of course, in the field of sports writing, you know, you pump out like a money article. I mean, you can't follow up with it the same type of article.
Yeah,
you need to go. You know, if they released something that was like AM, people would just keep comparing it. So what they did is they threw something into completely left field.
Last time I had a hit article, I then wrote erotic fiction to film.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right, exactly.
That makes a lot of sense.
And then, no, I did see Alex Turner say
erotic
that he couldn't write another album about love songs, which is
So he decided to sing about the moon.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
As one does.
In a way, right? That's the that is the smarter move to make than try and recapture the glory of, you know, AM, an album that hit so many different demographics.
Thumb thumps.
We're moving here along to Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino, the title track.
Mm. Love this song.
Yeah, I did, too.
Give a little room to breathe. That was me.
Do you hear the Nick O'Malley's bass? It's just like...
Yeah.
I don't think it's him.
So
I'm gonna have to break the news to you, Charlie. It's not Nick O'Malley.
I know.
It is the dude. It's Al.
Alex is playing bass.
It says Al.
Oh, this is Al. Okay, that's
look. These credits here say James Ford drums, keyboards, harpsichord, synth, and programming.
Harpsichord.
Jamie Cook on the guitar, and then Alex vocals, backing vocals, piano, bass, organ, keyboards, and a harpsichord.
Okay, that's nice.
But he's a great bass player. This bass line is really nice.
Then I could slap bass.
But why didn't he just let O'Malley do it?
I know.
Maybe O'Malley like had to go.
Yeah, he could have had to go. That's a really good point, Chris. I hadn't thought about that.
Well, yeah.
Might have had to go.
I mean, a lot of times with song credits, it's someone had to go. You know what I mean?
He might have had to go.
Not to humble brag, I think my fiance has a theory that that Alex Turner determines how they're all gonna look each album. So maybe Nick O'Malley rebelled a little bit.
He's like, "Oh, well, I'm gonna play bass on this song then."
Yeah.
Wait, can you do that again?
Oh, I'm gonna play bass on this song then.
Thanks.
It's Patty here.
All right. Alex Turner croons. Speaking of crooning, the infamous line here: "Kiss me underneath the moon's side boob."
Hmm.
Yeah, that's not among my favorite of his quips on this album.
Absolutely not. It is immensely insane of a line. I can't imagine.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Have technological advances ever gotten you bloody in the mood?
That's an awesome line.
That's cool.
For Tinder.
I like that. Well, yeah. Dude,
does he know about Tinder? Does he know about Tinder?
Definitely.
I think so. He talks about Netflix on this. So basically.
I matched with him on it.
Really?
Yeah.
He jumps into technology and like how he feels a lot on this album, doesn't he? He say like some line about getting sucked into a phone screen?
I think it's this song. It might be the next song. Actually.
Well, let's switch to the next song then. Let's go to Golden Trunks.
Can I be honest? I have no use for this song. This may be my least favorite Arctic Monkeys song.
I think this is kind of cool. My least favorite Arctic Monkeys song is Balaclava. That's the worst Arctic Monkey.
What? You like that song?
Yeah, that riff
song is horrible.
It's by far the worst song. Except for Chun-Li's Spinning Bird Kick. That song might be worse.
No, Chun-Li Spinning Bird Kick is
better.
You put
AM as 5 on your ranking, right? Don't you hate some of the songs? And wouldn't that lead me to believe that you don't like
a lot
of
it?
No, but do me a favor and 505 and Only Ones Who Know and Teddy Picker and Diaz, those make up for Balaclava and Fluorescent Adolescent.
Fluorescent Adolescent.
I also don't like that song. It's probably my third least favorite Arctic Monkeys.
It's okay to like the hits.
But I just don't like it. Really? It seems so overproduced.
I like it.
So I like bright. It too.
I like that song.
Good music.
Fuck me then.
What's your? I want to hear everybody's favorite song by the band, general.
By the band.
Yeah, Bob Dylan and the band.
Yeah. Up on Cripple Creek, you know.
Mine might be Cornerstone, actually.
Really?
Maybe.
A Certain Romance. I put the tremendous amount of time into building a double elimination bracket for Arctic Monkey songs, I was hoping we'd go over it on the show, but Chris blew it off like it was a fucking breeze in the wind. Didn't give a fuck about it.
There's too many. That's like not even. It's like a 120.
What?
That's
savage. Chris just didn't care at all about what I was doing, and A Certain Romance won that one.
Nice. That's a good song.
Remember that?
No.
Fire.
I have weird ones. Like, I really like Still Take You Home.
That's a great one.
Oh, yeah.
Punk song. Only Ones Who Know for some reason.
So like, good.
Really
good. But then I like No Buses for me is up there. Despair in the Departure Lounge is up there.
Leave Before the Lights Come
That's
On.
That's a great
I
one.
I'm talking strictly.
Bright Line Dining Room?
Bright Line Dining Room's up. Red Right Hand?
Amazing.
Red Hand's up there.
Nick Cave cover.
Yeah, that is a Nick Cave song.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
It's a theme song to Peaky Blinders.
Red Right Hand is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Okay.
A Red Right Hand.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I also like To Put Your Dukes Up, John, Bigger Boys and Stolen Sweethearts.
Great EP all around.
Great EP.
Right on.
Temptation, Treats You Like Your Naughty Friend.
Vampires is good.
Vampires.
I love Poaching Approaching.
Poaching Approaching's good.
Yeah.
Fire and the Thud.
Inspiring the Thought is so
I think
good.
We probably covered half the catalog.
Yeah, we did.
Are You Mine too? Like that's, that song definitely. Grabbed yeah, that me. Ridiculous. It pulled me into the band.
All right, wait, what do you
it
like?
Reached,
about
it like reached Chris, out and grabbed.
Chris,
me.
Yeah, Chris, defend yourself. It's over. So, oh.
I mean, vocally super impressive. Very like textural. Like I feel like if this album is all about establishing like feeling and a character and a place, it like definitely fills that void. Like it's not necessarily a great song just as it stands, but like in as a piece of the album, it sounds really right, good.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. It's creepy. It's minimal. It's nice.
It's cool. It's
this next song is your favorite, Chris. 4 out of 5. Helders is back, baby.
Helders back, is back.
Better
not
than ever.
Really.
What is it? It's that's the third song.
This groove
American
just
he plays a
doesn't
American
quite
sports.
Work for me.
Yeah.
It's almost there, but it just doesn't.
This is the
quite
first track of side B, by the way. I didn't know that.
It's first what?
Oh, first track on side B. Sorry, Charlie, interrupted you.
No, it's okay.
Good.
I'm just trying to like find my way into the groove into this song, and I can't find an entry point.
It just climaxes like beautifully too. I think it's like
you climax pretty beautifully too, right?
It's not pretty at all.
No,
okay. No.
This is your favorite on this album?
I don't know. I told Jake that
you said it was the best song they've ever written.
I actually did say that. I did say that. I think as like a songwriting feat, this song is ridiculous. Yeah. Like. Yeah. It's impossible to write a song like this, like
yeah.
Unless you're Al.
Unless your name is Al Turner,
yeah,
and you are a certified reverend.
Yeah. It's better live. I watched the live.
I'm sure it's
Fallon,
amazing,
and it was really good.
this song's groovy. No, I mean this is.
No, well, no, I saw it. You just licked your lips and then did a bass line in the air, right?
Yeah, Paul Rudd style.
That was beautiful.
This song's groovy. It's sounds the good. Only radio-ready song I would say on the album.
Yeah, this would have been the single.
I put a taqueria on the roof is among the best lines, mm-hmm. I think, on yeah. It makes me feel stupid when I'm like, oh, there's a cool rooftop bar in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was well-reviewed.
I'm that loser. And I do look up reviews
yes.
on Google, so yeah. That's cool. I'm too cheap for the Yelp app.
He's super Bowie on this song.
Very Bowie.
Yeah, he's like floating out there in the ocean.
Yeah. I think I'm going to keep moving here.
Yeah,
let's go to the most Arctic Monkeys title of all time. The world's first ever monster truck flip.
Yep.
I told my brother
weird title.
I told my brother the name of the song, and he said, oh, yeah, great video. I've never seen the video.
Yeah, no, he told Pitchfork that he watched a video of a monster truck doing a front flip. And
didn't know that.
Yeah.
That was it.
This is actually...
So I don't... I'm not... Take it or leave it, I think, on this track for me.
Like ridiculous, I love this song.
Really?
Like,
okay.
Like an odd amount, yeah.
Huh.
Very like Pet Sounds, Brian Wilson, 100%.
Yes, yeah. That's what I like about it. And then that, you know, if you want to call it, like the chorus kind of is so like groovy.
Mm.
It's very lounge singing, mm-hmm. and I love it.
Hit or miss.
Yeah,
for me.
Well, I mean, I just said Only Ones You Know is like one of my favorite songs, and that's like a filler track. So
yeah,
I don't know.
That's true.
I tend to like his weird stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That song also where it's placed is like
insane. Right, right into Do Me a Favor. You know what we should do? We should like once a month, every 2 months, do an like we should do five
battle
more rap. Episodes of too. We should do like 5 more episodes of this and have the panel back together every couple months to just do one of their albums.
Didn't you promise a Charlie Black Thought freestyle on this episode?
Yeah. No. Charlie, you want a beat?
What is that?
Throw it my way,
see,
man.
You didn't see the Black Thought freestyle?
No.
Oh, he's...
On Sway?
Yeah, yeah. One of the members of the Roots did like an 18-minute freestyle.
Oh,
like
yeah, I did. Yeah, and he keeps drinking water during it.
Yeah, he was sweating. It was great. So Charlie's going to recreate that for us.
I'm going to move along to science fiction here. I have a problem with the title of this song.
Yeah.
Just because he's saying the concept of the album in the title of the song.
Well, on the nose.
Yeah, it's a little on the nose.
Another Stereo Gun point. That's what they said,
was
too.
It?
Really?
Yeah, they said that, like, a lot of times, lyrically, he doesn't, like... And I hate when people do this, but I didn't even notice it with this album. He kind of, like, leads you into what he's talking about and, like, gives it to you in a few metaphors and, like, symbols, but then he just tells you what he's talking about.
Right, right.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
He, like, they phrase it as he points at it with, like, a neon sign at the end of the song.
Right,
like,
right.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. 4 out of 5 is a little like that, I guess. It's a little bit of like a catchier song, but it's not like super hard to pick. What's he talking about?
Yeah. Which I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't think of that with this album.
Yeah, it's fine.
I didn't have a problem with it not being like,
whoa,
lyrically. I don't know why.
Yeah, okay.
This song has a feel of it, like, especially in that piano lick at the end of the chorus. It's like really trying to put you, I guess my thought is like, this is such an obscure reference, but there's a show called Aqua Teen Hunger Force. And at the very beginning of that show, sometimes there's like the sketch where one of the characters is named Dr. Weird, and he lives in like a castle on the hill. What?
Is it you?
It's me. Yeah, I the voice.
He did a few drops on this. Like, yeah. Burr.
And anyway,
I usually have him queued up, but
the graphic that I'm thinking that they use for that show is what this kind of takes. It's like, it kind of has this like horror vibe to
definitely,
it.
Definitely.
Like,
this reminds me of a Shadow Puppets song. So
definitely.
Like a castle on a hill in a stormy night kind of vibe.
Yeah,
kind of hard to describe, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like murder mystery.
Like murder mystery, yeah, exactly.
No, definitely, this might be the most Shadow Puppets-y song on here.
Charlie, you want to move forward to one of your standouts on this record?
Oh, She Looks Like Fun. That strikes me as Beatles-y in the beginning.
Yeah.
We're just picking up the pace a little bit here.
Who does the vocals on this? Is this whatever?
Cameron Diaz.
Oh, Cameron Diaz. Loved her and the other woman.
I actually watched Shrek 1 last night.
Cameron.
Seriously? That's and Cameron Diaz insane. Is in that.
Yeah. Did you actually watch it last night?
Yeah.
It was
weird when she wasn't animated. That was a burn.
Yeah.
She was just herself.
Yeah, but yeah, that's a really weird. I don't get why they did that.
Yeah, that was weird.
Weird choice.
She's in Gangs of New York, too.
She's way miscast.
Yeah. Mark Scorsese got a little cocky.
Yeah, just like, what are you doing? That's a fun movie, but she like has no place in it.
Anyway.
All right. Sorry, I don't know. We're at the final.
Let's switch to Scorsese. Yeah. No.
We're at the closing trio of this album. Opening with She Looks Like Fun, moving on to Bat Phone, which I don't hate.
No, Bat Phone's like definitely.
I
don't hate it.
This was the when I listened to this album for the first time. This was the one I was like, oh, this song's cool. Like it less than it went on.
What's interesting is I'm listening to you guys react to this album, and like a lot of the songs, you guys are like, I like this song. And yet, to me, right, I like a lot of the songs on this album, but then I take a step back and look at it as a whole, and I'm like, it's good. It's a good album. It's just missing a few of the things that I love about the
band. Yeah, the songs are good. It's just that, and there is cohesion within lyric and instrumentation. There's just nothing, like, great about it.
I mean,
it's missing Helders. Yeah. I'm going to say it.
Yeah,
it's missing Matt Helders.
There's no, like, real climax of the album.
Is this what are we going into this? Are we doing that? What we think of the album?
Yeah, so I'm just gonna throw in the Ultra Cheese.
Yeah, Ultra Cheese, right?
This reminds me of the Rihanna song.
Which one?
Must Be Love on the Brain.
Oh, Love on the Brain.
Yeah. Does this kind of sound like that song?
Yeah, I can see that.
Totally. Very ballady.
Yeah, the totally. Piano.
I don't understand why he didn't say We Aren't Friends at All.
This song is awesome lyrically.
Obvious rhyme here. Suppose we aren't really friends anymore. Say friends at all.
Right.
Say friends at all.
Well, anymore means like over time. You know what I mean? Adds that element of time.
And his accent, it kind of rhymes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I know. I think this is a good closer. Those guys know how to close an album.
Go in on it. Give me your like full periscopic review of the album.
Yeah. I think that like they or at least Alex accomplished what he was trying to do. I think
key point, Alex.
Yes, the album sounds perfect.
Amazing,
instrumentation is perfect.
Production is great.
It feels really good. It feels like a movie soundtrack. Like I feel like I get it completely as I'm listening. I'm like, I feel like you really nailed what you're going for. It like paints a whole picture for you, and that's really hard to do. And I think as a songwriter, it's a huge feat to accomplish that. But Yeah, I mean, when thinking, when comparing it to another, like trying to compare this to a different Arctic Monkeys album, things get a little weird because it's like, I obviously like this less than a regular Arctic Monkeys album.
Right, of course.
But I'm also happy that it exists because it shows that if you try to go, if you try to take a left turn and try something really weird, you could still knock it out of the park in my head, you know, like at least in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. And like, even though they're not always the most technically sound band in terms of like, in like musically, all like all their past albums would have a few songs where there'd be like this kind of like explosion, like we talked earlier, we talked about D is for Dangerous, which has that big like kind of like blast at the end, and Fire and the Thud has like the big kind of solo there, and this album, like for me, like there's no part that ever builds up to much. There's there's a few great lines and choruses and stuff, but there's no, not like a lot I look forward to as much as I enjoy the songs on their own.
Yeah,
but it's cool. I mean, yeah, he tried something different, and I would say, you know, it, like, did a solid job on it. It's not like my favorite thing, but for something completely, you know, 180 turn from what they were doing, it's pretty cool.
I do really like this song. The more I'm like listening to it,
the song's awesome.
He's a crooner, a Calvin crooner.
My thing is just, I said it earlier, I spilled the beans earlier. I think this is more of a solo album from Turner.
He, I think he said it almost was.
It should, I mean, yeah.
Do they have like a record contract that he's like, well, I guess we'll make it a Monkees album?
But I feel like the Monkees contributions to this are key. I don't know.
It
I don't
is,
know why.
It is.
I don't really have any like evidence to back that up.
It's just not full Monkees though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I mean,
not.
It's been Monkees.
There are, here are the like two or three things that I think like define an Arctic Monkees album. And two of them are on this record. One of them is
boobs and butts.
Side boobs.
So, what's the line?
The moon side.
Kiss
boobs.
Me underneath
kiss
the
me
moon.
Underneath
side
the moon. That's a horrible lyric. But one is like Alex Turner's lyrics. They're I think you use words stream of consciousness. Like the more I think about it, like a lot of his lyrics are stream of consciousness. I even go back to the first record, like, you know, Rich to the Rubble, like. That album, that song especially, is just like he's nonstop from the start of that song to the end. He's singing the whole time. Not even singing so much as like telling you this story as this night is unfolding outside this club in Sheffield or
he
wherever
they
are.
He is very good at that. He's so good at putting you in a place.
Yeah, that's
like that.
Exactly. He's
like,
a real
brings you there.
Yeah, he's a real storyteller, and it's all about environment for him. And that's there. And I do hear the bass that I love about the Arctic Monkeys, which is they're a bass heavy band. Like O'Malley comes through a lot, but what's missing is some of the speed that what's the guitarist
Jamie
Cook, and Matt Helders bring
a little bit of that speed
and energy. It's just not on this album. Again, like you said, what they've accomplished is wonderful, but you know, there's no album that I'm really, there's no song that I'm rocking out to on this album. Not a problem, but I do love the Arctic Monkeys and I got into them because I like rocking out to them.
Absolutely.
Who doesn't like rocking out?
There's a lot of sexual innuendos on this show. Climaxes and I don't know. I think maybe that's it. I thought you said one, but never.
Just climaxes. Yeah. Do we have time for some Icebox?
We do. Before that, I want to pass the torch over. So that concludes our coverage of Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. Good work, guys. Thanks for coming.
Hey, that was a great analysis.
I have finished our famous segment, It's All Nice, All Nice, Canadian Shaman Who Gave a Little Too Much to Me, Book of the Month Club, Meet Me in the Bathroom Edition. V1 has closed out. I've finished the book. Amazing book. I'm now handing it to Chris. Are you going to read it, actually, or are you just going to let it sit there?
We'll see.
I have been unemployed for 3 weeks, so I was able to read a 600-page book in a blink of an eye.
I'm about to go on vacation, so be on a plane.
Cool.
We'll see.
Good book.
What's it about?
It's about punk rock in New York City from 2001 to 2011, focusing a lot on the Strokes, Interpol, Yeah.
They also you were telling me about this book.
It's fantastic. It's amazing. Have you heard of that book, Scott?
Yeah. Is it an oral history or is that just one chapter?
No, it is.
Okay.
The whole thing is an oral history.
It's just like a bunch of different people.
Style is huge in books now. A lot of stuff is coming out
it's
in oral
history.
Form.
So, Chris, read it.
Thank you.
Chat about it on the show.
Yeah.
Let's get into the icebox. Billy helped us out last week with the icebox. Absolutely killed it.
Shout out to Billy.
Billy. There he is. A little quick theme song. I know, Chris. You want to complain about it or no?
Yeah, I mean, not that much time here.
the Icebox theme song. Great, yeah. Scott?
Yeah, I love it.
Try it.
Right? Who is this? Seal?
Yeah. Blue Seal Ball.
This is the B-side of Tranquility Base.
This week for the Icebox, I'll start it off. I know I usually pass the torch along. In England this week, the Archbishop of Canterbury is the, I guess he's high up in the church, and he is officiating the wedding of Harry and Meghan.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he's got a rocky past of kind of messing up wedding ceremonies. So what he's been doing, he's listened to a lot of Stormzy to get himself psyched up. So he's listened to one of our favorite grime rappers, Stormzy, and he's been listening to a song to get himself psyched up so he doesn't mess it up again. That's pretty cool. So, for the Icebox, I'm throwing in all the other Archbishops of Canterbury throughout history who have not listened to Stormzy to psych themselves up for a while.
Honestly, assholes.
So, all Archbishops of Canterbury, get in the Icebox, man. Come on.
Get in there. That's unacceptable.
Can we go around the room? Because I actually had a similar note as this.
Go for it.
I just got to say, I don't follow him on Twitter, but I see Pope Francis tweets a lot about fake news, and it's like, come on, Pope Francis.
You put Pope Francis in the
Icebox.
Well, specifically Pope Francis. It's just like, cool out on Twitter, Pope Francis. Stop tweeting about fake news.
Dude, he's going to put you in the firebox, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
What does he say about fake news? What's his thought?
I just like,
yeah, what's his angle?
It just seems to call out journalists a lot for irresponsible. Not that that's a bad thing, just like that's not who I'm looking for.
You're a very irresponsible journalist, correct?
I'm really irresponsible, yeah.
Charlie, you heading for the Icebox?
That's my Icebox.
Yeah, man. I mean,
good job, Scott.
Superhero movies for me, just put them in the Icebox. I'm over them, dude.
Put them in the dumpster.
Here's the thing, there's so many of them. There's like 8 of them coming out, 8 of them are out. 8 of them came out a minute ago.
The rule of eight.
And I just found out that...
More sexual innuendos?
Yeah, I just found out that... So Josh Brolin plays Thanos in and Infinity Cable. War.
I
and
love Josh
Brolin. And
he's
playing Cable. You're right. I'm impressed at his range, you know, from You Raise Me Up to Cable.
Yeah.
But, wow. My song.
Is this Braveheart?
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I
think so. It's very... Irish feel.
I thought that was a joke, but
anyway.
So are you putting Josh Brolin in, or are you?
No, I'm putting superhero movies. The fact that Josh Brolin's of two villains and two superhero movies
little,
that come
in the
out
same universe?
A month apart in the same universe is a little ridiculous to me. Hey,
Chris, here's your Icebox.
What you got? Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
guys.
Car seat headrest went on Fallon this week.
Yeah, and what happened?
Sorry, wrong guy. He was hitting the wrong knobs.
Car seat headrest went on Fallon this week, and they played the song Bodies off the...
Stop. Sorry, I hit the wrong knob again.
Off their incredible remade Twin Fantasy album, and they added a second drummer, which is so annoying. It's one of my least favorite things.
That's rough.
Not a second drummer, like a percussionist guy who's like hitting things the whole time. I really, really don't like when bands do that when they don't need to.
Yeah.
And it's
as a drummer, why does it bother you so much?
It's just not needed.
It's
not
never
necessary.
Needed.
I thought you were going to say they played Bodies Hit the Floor by Drowning.
That would be incredible. But I'm putting Car Seat Headrest in the Icebox for this week.
Wow, that's big. We really like them.
Yeah. I love them. One of my
I like that song.
But
too.
You got to put pressure on the people you love, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, also, you two, Scott and Charlie, you guys got to get in the Icebox.
For thinking you're all that.
Yeah, woo!
You guys got to get in the Icebox, you two. You guys fucking come in here and think you're hot shit for talking about the Arctic Monkeys. Get in the Icebox.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yep.
Get out of here.
I'm talking about sexual innuendos.
Honestly, ridiculous that you think you can just do that.
Yep.
You guys want to come back?
Yeah, please.
Not really.
Okay. I
think
we should
do paper here.
What's the next?
We'll bring paper.
Band.
I think we can do another... A different band for a panel, but we can also do like another Arctic Monkeys album to a panel.
We could.
What are you doing?
Well, I wanted to see about.
We're out of time. That's all the time we got. Have a good night, everybody. Charlie and Scott, thanks for coming
in. Thank you.
Everybody, keep on listening.
Guys.
Billy's on Cosmic Debris, 11 to midnight. Get your jams on. Have a great night.
6 to midnight.
Hey, now.
Good night.